I learned the steps to how to live a healthier lifestyle and learned that it wasn't just about eating. But when I cleaned up my diet, that was the biggest thing. Started to exercise and do a few other key things. My whole outlook changed on my body, and I realized if I didn't do something, yes, I would be one of those diabetic people. My blood sugar was rising. I did, throughout a year's period, get off my medications.
Welcome to Thriving with Diabetes, the podcast where we empower people with type 2 diabetes to live their best lives. I am your host, Gamden, a holistic wellness coach, helping people overcome challenges related to type 2 diabetes. As a holistic wellness coach, I have dedicated my passion for health and wellness to helping people like you navigate the complexities of diabetes. I believe that with the correct knowledge, support, and mindset, you can manage your health condition more effectively and lead a fulfilling and vital life. In this episode of Thriving with Diabetes, we are discussing a crucial topic, the impact of sugar on diabetes management. We are delighted to welcome our guest, Lynn Wadsworth, a holistic health practitioner. Lynn's journey from sugar addiction, dieting, and health struggles is an inspiring story for many. Through this episode, we will discover valuable insights into overcoming sugar cravings, managing blood sugar levels, and embracing holistic approaches to thriving with diabetes. I'm so excited to have our guest with me today, Lynn Wadsworth. As you know that our podcast is all about empowering people with type 2 diabetes to lead healthier and more fulfilling lives. And having experts like Lynn on our show helps us achieve that goal. It is always inspiring to learn about our guests' perspectives and experiences. Before we dive into our discussion, I would love for Lynn to introduce herself, share some background about her and what she does. So without further ado, I will hand it over to Lynn to introduce herself. Lynn, welcome to the Thriving with Diabetes podcast.
Thank you. I'm so honored and happy to be here. I appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. To start the conversation, let's explore Lynn's journey and mission in holistic health. Could you share the turning point in your life that inspired your mission to help others to live healthier and happier lives?
Yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in England, and so our way of living and eating was a little bit different to when I came over to the States. But even at a young age of probably 13 or 14, I started to get a very bad image of myself and of my weight. And so I started every fad diet that was out there. I was a professional yo-yo dieter in some of the biggest platforms that they have out there for weight loss. And of course, as anybody knows, if they are a yo-yo dieter like me, you can lose the weight, then you put it back on, and then more of it comes along with it. And so along with that, so just an example would be for the one that goes by points, my whole mindset was, I love sugary things, so I can eat four or five of their carrot cakes and only have eaten so many points. And it did not help my addiction to sugar in all of these diets. And I did actually go to one diet clinic where they give you the shots and they gave you the stuff that was supposed to boost your metabolism. And the diet food that they gave you there was all sugar and all processed food. So didn't help me, because I would take trips to England and I would come back with my suitcase loaded with Cadbury's milk chocolate. And then I would put it in the freezer, and if my kids touched it, I would just go nuts. So definitely had not just the sugar addiction, but the binge eating. And I would go into the bedroom and eat as much as I could without people knowing. And, you know, of course, gained more and more weight, then started with high cholesterol, high blood pressure. I had several surgeries because my body just was really shutting down from all the garbage I was putting into it. And I think my aha moment was when I talked to an English friend that was visiting, and she had just come through a holistic health program in England. And so I started to search out somewhere that I could go and learn how to live a healthy lifestyle. I also was having daily migraines at this point, some totally debilitating. So I went at the same time to a holistic center for people like me. I was by then hooked on Vicodin for my migraines. And they taught what paralleled what I was learning in college. So I learned the steps to how to live a healthier lifestyle and learned that it wasn't just about eating. But when I cleaned up my diet, that was the biggest thing. Started to exercise and do a few other key things. My whole outlook changed on my body, and I realized if I didn't do something, yes, I would be one of those diabetic people. My blood sugar was rising. I did, throughout a year's period, get off my medications, and it took a while longer really to get rid of I would still say it's like if you say to an alcoholic, so you're a reformed alcoholic, they make the comment, well, I'm an alcoholic, I'm in recovery. So I would say the same thing about a sugar addiction. I'm a sugar addict, but I'm in recovery. So it plays such a huge role in how we feel about ourselves. And that was why I became so passionate about trying to help other people learn what I had learned, because it's totally transformed my life. It's totally different to what it was prior to going through college and learning about holistic health.
Brilliant. So your own struggles with the sugar addiction and processed food or refined carbohydrates, which led to some health issues. That was the turning point.
It was. And some of that had to do with moving to the US, and it was so different the way that we eat over here to how we ate in England. And when I first saw bread on the shelf over here and saw that it could last 2 or 3 weeks, I was ecstatic, because all I could think was, gosh, I don't have to go to the baker every other day and get fresh bread. Of course, I learned a whole lot about processed foods and how it's poison to our body. But when I first came here, all of those processed foods seemed very accommodating to my lifestyle.
Brilliant. Very interesting story to hear. So this is like can be a big advantage to help others who are struggling, yes, from the same issue.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about sugar cravings and addiction. Just you mentioned a little bit about that. So how did you personally like manage or overcome sugar addiction after you received, like, I know you mentioned a friend or someone helped you. What specific steps that you took in order to overcome the sugar craving and addiction?
So I think a lot of it is learning the steps to a holistic lifestyle, but it's also the aha moments that you have. When I learned that sugar was as addictive as cocaine and it affects the same part of the brain that cocaine would affect an addict with, that was totally, all I could think was, how could I put that into my body? I wouldn't dream of going out and scoring cocaine, however you do that, and putting it in my body, but I was still putting poison into my body. So it's really a process. It's not something that happens overnight. And some of the easy things that you can do is have those aha moments, be educated, learn what sugar can do for you, learn what that toxicity does to your body, and then begin to change what you do. So there are a couple of quick fixes that I teach my clients. So one is to make sure that you're well hydrated. If you're having a craving for sugar, excuse me, Florida allergies, then make sure that you are doing something to take your mind off it. So maybe go get a drink of water or some lemon water, or go stand outside for a while, appreciate nature and think about something else, or take a quick walk around the block. So to begin with, it's learning to change your mindset about sugar, to realize that that's a toxin you don't want. And so what can you do to change it? And it's like any healthy habit, it takes time and it takes effort. So it takes action on your part and learning maybe some breathing exercises that helps you relax and changes your whole mindset, or a quick meditation that is going to change how you're thinking and how you're feeling. And I think for me, the biggest aha moment was, if I put this in my body, how is it going to affect my body? I've only got this one body and I want to make it last. So it was really education and learning some quick tips that turned me around.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. It's very important, as you mentioned, knowledge is key, and yes, we should be aware of the impact that sugar can do to our brain. And you just mentioned something like very important when you compare sugar to cocaine.
Right.
How it messes up with our brain. And your tip, or the first tip you just shared, is when you feel like you you want to eat sugar or something sugary, so drink water or water with lemon or something like that. Now let's move a little bit, move forward in terms of how sugar can affect our blood sugar levels. So as you know, understanding the impact of sugar on blood sugar levels is crucial for people with diabetes. Could you explain the connection between sugar consumption and sugar consumption, blood sugar levels, and even insulin resistance? So to help people with type 2 diabetes in this regard?
So, of course, there are several theories out there when it comes to talking about sugar and the effect different foods have on our bodies. And I know that for my family, I do have a diabetic son. I have a daughter who tends to be hypoglycemic, which is the low blood pressure portion of it. So, you know, I'm learning all the time different pieces of this, but there's so many theories out there. And, you know, of course, at the moment, we've got all this intermittent fasting craze, which does help some people. But you've got to remember, if you are prone to diabetes, pre-diabetic, type 2 diabetes, you have to keep your blood sugar levels stable. So that really means that for some people, it's eating 3 meals a day with a couple of snacks. For some people, it's just the 3 meals a day, but you need to keep it consistent. Something I hear often with my clients is, well, if I can just skip breakfast, or I don't eat breakfast in the morning. I learned this even as a migraine sufferer, how important it is to keep the blood sugar stable and level. So you want to eat your 3 meals a day that are so balanced with the protein, with healthy carbs, with some vegetables, or eating the colors of the rainbow, we often say, for the vegetables. And I think people need to remember they should be doing that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you're eating snacks in between, you've really got to think about the snacks. So for a diabetic, you don't want to be reaching for the sugary snacks or even fruit that has a lot of sugar. The stability of the blood sugar levels is going to keep you a lot healthier. And if you learn how to eat those balanced meals, then your blood sugar levels are going to be a lot better. I realize there are some people with type 2 diabetes, they are going to have to go ahead and figure it out. Should they have snacks? Shouldn't they have snacks? What can they eat? What can they not eat? You're always trying to think of something that is not going to overload your system with sugar, and you're going to have to learn portion control. So just because you're eating 3 meals a day doesn't mean that you're eating 3 huge meals a day, because diabetics tend to put on weight a lot more easily. So portion control and eating mindfully can have a huge effect. So when you're eating your food, don't be watching the TV. Don't eat at your desk while you're at work. You need to concentrate on the food that you're eating, enjoy it, so that what you might find in doing that, because you're slowing down your eating, is it takes 20 minutes for our brains to tell our stomach that it's full. And if you slow down your eating, you might find that, hey, I'm not eating all of the food on the plate. I'm full now. I don't need, you kind of eat until you're 80% full, because by the time your body's caught up, you'll be full. Don't grab for those boxed cereals in the morning. You've really got to think about, what can I eat that's healthy? It can be complicated, and each person is different. Mm-hmm. I could give you a basis, but what affects one person might not affect another person. I know that my son, if he's been out and he's had a couple of drinks and he's maybe had something in a restaurant that's a little bit more sugary than he would eat at home, his blood sugar levels spike. And I think that people have got to be aware of how they approach that, because you mentioned insulin resistance, and that's when your cells in your muscles, your fat in your liver, don't respond well to insulin, and they don't take the glucose into your blood in a proper way. It can cause thirst and urination, or frequent urination, increased hunger, blurred vision, headaches, which I know very well from being a migraine sufferer. So you've got to know your body. And that's the biggest tip I can give anybody. I always give my clients a journal. And I know people hate journaling. But if you write down what you're eating and then how you feel after you eat, because if you're feeling bloated or if you feel like you're on a sugar high, if you feel that you're a little bit hypoglycemic, like lower blood sugar, if you can understand your body and how it feels, it will help you. So it's not just about what you eat, it's also learning your body signals, learning how to adjust to how you feel. Should I be eating this? Should I be eating that? Because I found as I get older, there are foods that I could eat when I was younger that I can't eat now. And then you've got to know, is this something that affects my blood sugar? So I know a lot of people are having to check their blood sugar throughout the day. It's a good idea when you've eaten a meal to check your blood sugar and see how that meal has affected you. Write it down somewhere and keep track of it so that you can know how your body's responding. Because if we're eating well, we should be filled with energy, not from sugar, but just real energy. Our food is nutritious, it nourishes our body, and we can keep our insulin levels a little bit more where they should be.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you for sharing these great insights. So you just mentioned a very important point about portion control, and if we eat sugar or the impact of sugar, the common impact is having high blood sugar levels, which can affect yes. our health. And you mentioned as well not everyone will have the same impact or will struggle the same. Someone can, I mean, it is different from person to another. And yes, it depends yes. on the physical activities as well. The sedentary lifestyle. This will take us to the next thing, which is very important when we talk about blood sugar levels and food as well. You know, you just mentioned earlier that one of the things that you used to do is eating processed food. Processed foods, I mean, is a common part of our daily life. So it can bring some health challenges or struggles. So what role do processed foods play in diabetes management, and how can people make healthier food choices to control their blood sugar levels better, and not just that, and improve their overall health?
Yeah, processed foods is such a huge topic now. When I was brought up in England, we didn't have processed foods. You know, my mum made everything from scratch. We had our garden. And nowadays, everybody wants something that's quick. So one thing that I learned about, processed food is it really acts in your body the same way sugar does. It doesn't process in your body the way that foods are supposed to. And it's a big factor when it comes to your blood sugar levels. If you're eating processed foods, it's going to cause your blood pressure to go higher. It really is very toxic. Just like sugar is toxic to our bodies, processed foods is the same way. You can go down the aisles and you'll see a box will say healthy, and all they have to have is one healthy item in there to say that's healthy. So the second big tip is you need to learn how to read your packages. My rule of thumb is if there's more than five ingredients in it, don't buy it. If you can't pronounce the name on the box, don't buy it. Because it's like when I mentioned to you the bread that we see that lasts 2 or 3 weeks. Well, if you start looking at it, how come it lasts that long? Because they've put chemicals and really toxic things. They've stripped out all of the goodness. They've put artificial flavorings in. They've put sugar and different kinds of sugar that you won't just see the word sugar. You have to learn the different words for sugar. So anything that ends in O-S-E, you really want to stay away from, because that's a type of sugar. But over here in the States, there's not much control. And I find in Europe, it's a lot different. And in other countries that they are a lot more controlled with their processed foods. But over here, we seem to be able to put anything in them. So people don't necessarily think about processed foods in the way of say, yogurt. So that you look at the calorie count. So go look at the counter and you see, oh, here's some yogurt that's only 100 calories. So that's going to be okay for me. But what they haven't done is looked at the label to see that, again, they've stripped away all of the goodness and put in the processed and the artificial flavorings so that it still tastes good, but it's toxic to your body. So just because something says it's healthy or just because it's only got 100 calories doesn't mean that you're eating great food. So you've got to flip it around and think back to what I call clean eating. So you're eating whole foods that come from the earth, you're eating seasonally. So what's seasonal for us in Florida is so hard to determine because, you know, we're in a different climate to say where they've got colder weather and it's easier to grow a garden. But if you learn what foods are in season and eat seasonally and eat foods that are from their pure state, then you're going to have a better chance of keeping your blood pressure levels. So when you go to the grocery store, go to the outside of the grocery store, try not to shop on the inside, go for everything that's come from nature, that's good and that's pure. And yes, it takes more effort and it takes more time to cook your own. And one misconception is, well, I can go buy maybe a frozen meal because, you know, it's got vegetables, it's got the protein. But if you start looking at the labels again, you've got a lot of sodium and a lot of processed sugar in there. Even French fries. If you really want some potatoes or you want some French fries, cut your own and bake them in the oven. It's really learning again how to eat how we ate thousands of years ago, where they could only get foods that were homegrown, and even going to a produce stand here in the States or wherever you live, go to places where you can find good, wholesome foods.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing your thoughts about processed foods. And I will take two pro tips from you regarding this part. So read the label is number one. Yeah. Second thing, try to cook at home as much as you can. And this will lead us to the next part of this episode. I know you talk about aging, and some people may overlook the effects of sugar on aging. My question is, how does sugar consumption accelerate the aging process, and what signs of premature aging should people be aware of, specifically as they age with diabetes?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'll answer it briefly, because sugar doesn't just, I mean, it's toxic to our body. It's doing nothing good inside our body. And you have to think about the fact that the outside of us comes from the inside. If you're eating sugar, it causes your organs and your bodily processes to age more quickly. And I know that sounds weird, but you're actually putting toxins into your body. So if you're aging from the inside out, if you're putting something into your body that's not good for you, it's going to show on the outside. It's not about, oh, let's get the newest beauty cream that you can put on your face because it's going to help your lines and wrinkles. You've got to remember it comes from the inside. If you're putting processed foods and sugars into your body, it's not only going to affect your blood sugar, it's going to affect all of the organs in your body, and you're going to age from the inside out. If you look at people who age well, I'm not talking about celebrities because they've probably been through rounds of Botox and rounds of other aesthetic type of things, but if you look at a person who's aging, you can sometimes look at them and think that, oh, they don't look as old as they are, and ask them what kind of diet they've eaten. Movement plays a big part in this too. It's making sure that you're moving your body, because if you're not moving your body, you're going to become a couch potato, is a good way to put it. And that doesn't help the way that you look either, because there's definitely an anti-aging effect when you're moving your body. And so it's not just the one thing with aging that's food, it's also your sleep, it's your movement. How are you moving your body? How is your stress level? So how are you managing your stress? There are definitely different factors that cause us to age more quickly. The number one is the food, but these other things also play a role. Think how many times you've not had enough sleep. You look in the mirror when you get up and you think, oh, where did all those lines suddenly come from? It shows on the outside that something wasn't quite right. On the inside, you weren't refreshing and rejuvenating, which is what your sleep does for you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that as well. This will lead us to the next question about middle life health challenges. What are some common health challenges that women face during middle life, and how can these challenges affect diabetes management?
So for the majority of women, the number one complaint that they have is that they're gaining weight, they've got belly fat, they can't get rid of it. Then there's the brain fog that goes along with that, and the fatigue. And that's not even to get into hot flashes and all of the other things that women experience, but just thinking about those, brain fog will generally come from what you're putting into your body. Are you sleeping enough? Are you stressed? All the same things. And if you're diabetic and you're going through that, then you've got a tougher road to hoe, as we would say in England, because you're also trying to manage your blood sugars at the same time. I mean, we've got the mood swings and we've got the up and down cortisol and the different hormones that come into play that really have an effect on our body. Well, if you're exercising, you'll find that your hormones are more balanced. Excuse me. You'll find that you can sleep better. If you're eating right, it has the same effect. Just sleep better. Sorry, this is Florida weather.
It's fine.
You can even, if you're eating right, you're sleeping right, you're managing your stress, you'll find that you get rid of the brain fog. It comes down to knowing your body, going through a journal. This makes my body feel like this. This makes my body feel bloated, because women don't lose weight in the same way that they did when they were younger. And especially if you're diabetic, it's even harder to lose the weight. And you don't want to starve yourself. You've got to still eat at least 3 nutritious meals a day. So it comes down to having the right proportions of nutrition on your plate, managing your stress, moving, making sure you're well hydrated, making sure you're getting 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep. It really is all the same concept, but it changes a little in midlife. And then in midlife, when you're in menopause, as women, we're dealing with the fact that our kids have left home, everything's changing, we feel different, we're questioning what's our life about, is there something that we want to do different? It can be an exciting time of life, a time of change. You can start doing the creative things that you never had a chance to do. You can start traveling, you can start doing things you couldn't do before. Which can be exciting. And if we've got that joy and fulfillment, it can really help our outlook on life. And when you've got a positive outlook on life, you can really handle better the way that your body is working. Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, I'm putting on all of this weight and I look awful, which is what we tend to do as women, start being grateful for your body. I'm so thankful I've got this body that helps me get out of bed every day. I can still feed my body in a good way. I can still love myself. That's where self-care comes in for both men and women. Make sure that you're taking time for yourself to do something that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be a 2-hour thing. You can just take 15 minutes walking around the block can do it for some people, or soaking in a bathtub with some wonderful scents and Epsom salts before you go to bed. Just doing something to take care of yourself. And it all comes down to those same pillars of health, the sleep, the stress reduction, the way that you eat, and having some joy in your life. I think as you hit midlife, that's very, very important, because some of us have had to take care of children for years, and we've lost our own selves and become wrapped up in them, and we have to find out who we are again, and that can be very exciting for us.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing these great information and advice as well. Is there anything you want to share about how to develop sustainable, healthy eating habits so people can start implementing even small steps?
Yeah, so really it's looking at your plate and beginning to swap out something that's not healthy. So for example, maybe you eat white rice, that's what you love. That again is something that's been stripped of its nutrition. So have something. Most people don't like the taste of brown rice, but you can eat a brown basmati rice. That tastes very good. Or if you like things like quinoa, then put that on your plate. And then make sure with each meal you're adding a vegetable. It doesn't have to be a whole huge big thing to begin with. You start one step at a time. Start with one meal. Make it all healthy and nutritious. And then when you're in the habit of doing that, then take on the next meal and begin to work on that. But the least you can do is add a good vegetable to your meals. Most of us will overlook the vegetables. We don't like vegetables, but start experimenting with them and have fun with it.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that as well. I know you have already shared a lot of tips. Are there some more tips you want to share?
I think the biggest thing I would like people to take away is think about the sugar that you're eating and think about the processed foods that you're eating, because these are two of the biggest things that cause our health to deteriorate. So if you do nothing else, just start being aware of the sugar that you're eating and the processed food that you're eating, and start switching it up for something healthier. If anybody is interested, they can email me. I have healthy foods that are a substitute for desserts, because if you are a sugar addict and you've got to have that sweet thing, I do have some great recipes that people can use as a substitute. Because the biggest detriment to our body is to put all this processed food and sugar in it. So that's the biggest thing that we face as a challenge in our life. And I'm not saying do it all at once, but a step at a time, start removing that from your diet and adding in something healthy.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing these additional tips as well. What I get a lot of questions about what should I eat? Do you have a recipe? Anything alternative to like processed sweets or cakes? So we should look at other alternatives, as you mentioned.
Yeah. You know, one great alternative that I found that's quick is to use cashew nuts. And you soak cashew nuts, you can soak them for 2 hours or overnight, drain them and rinse them, and then put them in a strong blender with a little bit of vanilla extract and milk. So I use something like almond milk or oat milk or an alternative, and you whip it up, and then you can put a layer of that, top it with something like blueberries or raspberries or strawberries, and then another layer of the cream, and you just layer it up until it's all gone, and then just sprinkle some chia seeds or some oatmeal on top to crisp it up a bit, and that really helps my sweet tooth.
Delicious. Thank you. Thank you for this recipe. Maybe I'm going to try it. I have got another question before we finish this episode. What inspiring message or advice would you like to leave out or to leave with our viewers and listeners, specifically those struggling with type 2 diabetes?
So I really would like to motivate them to know that they can do it. I know I don't have type 2 diabetes myself, but I've dealt with the fact that my sugar's got too high with the foods that I eat. And all I can tell you, coming from having a yo-yo diet and mentality and poor health, to coming through to the other side, where I had migraines every day, but to where now I haven't had one in a few weeks. Our weather is the only thing that I have an issue with now in Florida. If I can do it, being a total sugar addict, to somebody hiding away to eat my sugar that nobody would see, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because all you have to do is take one step at a time. Even if you've got type 2 diabetes, there are definitely some great recipes you can use that are alternatives that won't give you that unstable sugar throughout the day. So there is hope and there are answers out there. I'm sure you yourself give them plenty of ideas throughout your podcast.
Thank you for sharing your great inspiring message. How can people find you if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about you and what you do?
The easiest way is through my website. It's holistic-healthandwellness.com. You can also put in lynnwadsworth.com and it will take you to the same place if that's easier. On there are a couple of free guides and also the opportunity to have a free 30-minute call with me where we can discuss where you can go from here.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing your contact information. I'm going to leave your links in the show notes of this episode as well.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to say?
Well, I really appreciate you having me on here, and especially to women in midlife, I would like to tell them that the key is that this isn't the end of life. It's the beginning of a new phase and a new season of life to be enjoyed to the fullest. And for men as well who go through a midlife crisis, just change your thinking. Think about it as being the beginning of the rest of your life. And it can be lots of fun. You can have joy and happiness along the way, plus good health and wellness.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that as well. First and foremost, I would like to express my sincere gratitude for our amazing guest, Lynn Wadsworth, for generously sharing her expertise, insights, and time with us today. Your contribution has truly elevated this episode, and I deeply appreciate the information you have provided. I want also to thank every one of you, our dedicated viewers and listeners, for being a part of this episode. If you are seeking additional guidance and support, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me at wellnessimpact.org. During this call, we can discuss your needs and your challenges and explore how I can provide a personalized assistance while addressing any questions you may have. If you found this episode insightful and valuable, I encourage you or invite you to join our community of people committed to thriving with diabetes. To stay up to date for upcoming episodes, empowering discussions, and practical tips, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For those who prefer other platforms such as Spotify, you can follow the Thriving with Diabetes podcast. Once again, thank you, Lynn, for being our guest today. Thank you, everyone, for being part of this insightful journey. Until next time, take care of your health and keep thriving.